Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash Lip Chat.
Oh! 985 The Sports Hub is what we do every Thursday at 7 o'clock. We're fortunate to have Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. We call him Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin?
What am I thinking of?
You thinking about the person who sleeps? Sleeping Beauty?
Like the, yeah.
Sleeping Beauty.
No. The guy, Rip Van Winkle.
Okay. Not quite Rumpelstiltskin.
What was Rumpelstiltskin?
He was the guy, you have to say his name, and then the curse was broken, and nobody knew his name, and he was singing it in the woods, and...
I don't recall that.
I don't remember that part of the story.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Rumpelstiltskin is my name.
No, that, but the whole
that just sounds
thing,
like
I'm
a schizophrenic coming up to you in the streets.
Yeah, all I know is that the Bankroll Boys, by the way, your thing at the top is incorrect. The Bankroll Boys, this is the first week that I have legitimate concerns about letting it ride. Because I have been on a roll with these guys. I bet I had a bankroll last week of, I gave them $60 a couple weeks ago, and I just had them just let it ride. And last week they said, bet on the Jets. And I had put $200 on that Jets game.
Oh,
and
200.
Now,
okay.
So I'm at like $400 now.
Whoa, okay. I had 240.
No. I'm like double that. So I'm like, yeah, trying to
I
get away with
the 360
fast.
Altogether.
Okay, three. Oh, see, is it really?
It was 180 and 180, so 360.
Minus the fee.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So this is like the first time I'm actually saying, should I cash out? All right, this is like real money finally.
Yeah, that's right. It's really a decision you have to make.
Well, 360, I mean, that's
interesting. Well, listen, it's going to make or break you.
Now, listen, some people don't let it ride like that every single week. Like, they'll use like a percentage of it. So you can do that, Rich, if you'd like.
I don't know. You got to go all or nothing. All or nothing.
It's called a bankroll.
You don't want to lose your bankroll in 1 week. You know what I mean?
Listen, you guys have been good luck so far. So at the end of the break, you can pick out which one you want me to bet on. But
and we call that. What do we call that? That's the
Bankroll Boys 420 pick of the week.
That's a couch buzz.
That's right. The THC you in Vegas. I don't know.
Joe Murray, are you more of a couch buzz guy? Or are you more of a sativa situation?
Couch buzz.
Okay, so you're into the indica.
Yeah, I mean whatever's out there.
He's not all good.
I will say, though, the concert stuff, I don't touch that. Like, you never know what you're getting.
Yeah, you don't know who you're getting it from.
That's how I ended up smoking angel dust.
Something like that happened to me once, too.
Angel dust?
I don't know what it was, but I popped out of my seat. Popped right up.
You want to hear what happened to me?
I was like, don't touch that. Everybody I was with.
So I was playing cards with these guys, and then these guys were like, all right, we have pre-rolls, and they gave me the pre-rolls, and I didn't really smoke. So I gave like four to my friends, and I kept one. I went over to my friend's house, who smoked every day. I smoked, and I go, oh, I'm a puss. Like, my hands are sweating, and I went home. And I, like, talked to my girlfriend at the time. She kind of calmed me down. My friend calls me, who smoked every day, and he goes, I'm at Burger King. And I'm like, oh, great, congratulations. And he goes, yeah, I can't leave. I'm at the payphone, and I can't leave. I physically can't leave. Then I had friends who went to Lollapalooza. One of them, who's a doctor now, passed out and hit his head on the bumper of a car and had to be hospitalized.
Oh.
And then another friend, who's now a cop, he saw red out of one eye and black out of the other eye and ran into the woods.
Well, sounds like a mushroom situation.
Well, it was an angel dust situation, which was...
It's like Smokey and Friday, if you ever remember that.
Yes.
With the chickens.
Right. But there you go. That's our marijuana talk for the day with Joe Murray.
So how did you do last week? What's the what was your over-under? How'd you do?
I was profitable. I know Dan had made like a bunch of plays on Saturday and Sunday.
So I had eight plays. My favorite. I went 5-3, so it was all right. It wasn't great. I thought I was going to do much better. I was pretty sure I was going like 7-1 or something. I was real confident about last week. A little too confident.
So your whole thing is that college football's been killing you, but the NFL's been good to you, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think 9 top 25 teams went down last week in college football.
Yeah, the Penn State Michigan State game was a bit of a shocker.
I think you said last week too to take the over on the Patriots game, right?
That was
a ridiculously high number.
Yep, and only two of them have ever. One went over by a half a point, I believe.
Yeah,
and the other game went under. So only two games in history that had that high of a total. have gone over.
And you said to, and you said take the over. So
yeah,
hopefully,
I think that happened. Yep, that happened last week. And the Patriots did not cover, by the way. It was 3.5. So the Chiefs, I believe, are 6-0 this year against the spread.
Oh, really?
They are.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you got for this week in the NFL? What's your lock?
So we'll get to the lock in a minute. There's no such thing as a lock, by the way, if you listen to the Over Under 985 podcast.
That's right. That's it.
At 985sportshub.com.
You don't have to sarge it in. We'll plug it.
That's a square play.
But speaking of square plays, the London game. Last week I had Seattle -3 over Oakland. Square play, but again, the team that should be favored normally wins those games. We have another London game this week, Dan, I believe.
Titans Chargers.
Titans Chargers, which is tough. I don't know which way to go on that one. Titans usually play well at home. This game's in London. Chargers off a win. I lean Chargers in that game.
Yeah, I'd probably lean the over in that game. Titans were terrible last week. Got blown out by Baltimore 21-0. In London, the London games are pretty much, over games. Last weekend was obviously an under game. Oakland just decided they didn't want to play football, and pretty much that's
a 9:30 degenerate special, though.
Excellent. The breakfast
that's
degenerate
what we're talking
special.
About.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, dude, do you always keep an eye on, like, what day the team arrives in town? Because I know that other people are saying that the Raiders suck so bad because they got in so late.
Yeah, I didn't want to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, teams that normally play like on a Monday night and then play on Sunday don't fare well. I believe that happened with the Chiefs this past, even though they covered. So yeah, that is something to look at. Houston had travel issues, if you remember, against the Patriots years ago and got blown out. So yeah, it makes a difference.
Bankroll boys, I see an interesting number here. I see Minnesota at the Jets. Minnesota only giving 3.
Yes.
What? Explain that to me. That seems like an odd line.
It's kind of like last week. Remember when the Jets were 2.5 against the Colts? And, I mean, the Colts were probably, I think, the second largest or second most taken play in the Super Contest last week. So they were a huge, public favorite. Everyone wanted to bet the Colts, thought they were going to win. The Jets demolished them. Probably should have beat them by even more, but their defense decided to give it up. I mean, what that says to me is that, this is going to be a competitive game, most likely, and the Jets are going to have a legitimate chance to win this one. I mean, the line is at, 2.5, 3, depending on where you go. If you're looking at that, you just have to say off the top of that that you think that just on the line that they want you to take the Vikings, you probably should take the Jets.
And home dogs have ruled. Going into last week, it was 15-7 against the spread. A couple of home dogs won last week. Miami won outright last week as a dog. So I think leaning home dogs is the way to go, especially in that matchup. A lot of the money is probably going to come in on Minnesota. The Jets is probably the right side. We'll see how it goes.
Well, let's talk about a home dog with the Patriots and the Bears, because I'm kind of shocked, to be quite honest, that the Patriots are only favored by 3, especially with the news of Khalil Mack not going to practice yesterday. You saw him last week. He's obviously injured in some sort of way. He was the first game of the year that he had no quarterback pressure. He's been amazing up until the game that was this past Sunday. So what do you do in that case? What kind of where are you putting your money on that
bad spot for the Patriots?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. It's a real bad spot for the Bats. I think the Bears are going to beat them. We talked about it on the podcast last week. It's just, you have to get prepared for this big KC game. Now you have to face Chicago. I believe the week afterwards is Green Bay.
You're on the road for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's just
prime time in Buffalo next week.
Yep, and again, the Bears are coming off a pretty terrible loss in Miami. This is going to be a probable must win, especially since Green Bay just won in that ridiculous game Monday night. The Chicago needs this game. The Pats probably are in a terrible spot. I like Green Bay, plus the 3. Honestly,
what if Khalil Mack is out?
Oh, yeah. He's not out. But Marcus Cannon could be out. So you got LeAdrian Waddle versus Khalil Mack. Give me a 70% Khalil Mack over Waddle all day long. I bet money on that just
Waddle
now.
Handled
Let's
Waddle
do it.
Handled him in Mexico City last year.
Still? I mean, I just think Tariq Cohen and Howard, that's going to be the biggest issue for the Patriots. Like, Van Noy really can't tackle running backs out of the backfield. Like, it's going to be a tough matchup. Chicago's been very good. Trubisky's been, he made one mistake last week in the red zone, but a lot of the money is going to come in on the Patriots, but the home dog in this situation is probably the right side.
All right, so let's talk about the Red Sox Astros. If you want to put money on that, what are you seeing?
So it opened up with the Astros -155. I took the Astros in 6, so that's out. So one thing we should probably talk about is called hedging. I have a futures bet on the Red Sox to win the pennant and the World Series. So I took the Houston in six. That's not going to happen. So there's an opportunity here to hedge. could take the Red Sox to win the series to make up that money. Mm-hmm. This series is not over. David Price tonight comes back to Fenway. We don't know about Chris Sale. I think this thing is going seven. And I still lean Houston in this series.
Oh! Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So you still, you think it's, you're going to put money on.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
But I still lean. I still lean Houston. I again, I have the Red Sox.
You either do or you don't.
I have a futures bet on the Red Sox. So I could hedge it. I could.
No. Don't do it.
There's absolutely a way you could.
Like David Price and unknown Chris Sale. Where are you going to put your money on that?
No, I mean, we talked about this in here last week. I told you the Red Sox are going to win.
Should I put my $400 on that?
Go right ahead, Rich.
No, this is just so bad. No. All right. So where do I put my money?
Yeah, what's the Purple Punch 2.0 pick of the week?
I don't know, Dan. You've been hot lately.
I know you're going to hate this, guys. I like Arizona a lot tonight. I think that Arizona's going to win.
This is the dog crap bowl. It's Arizona at Broncos or Broncos at Arizona?
Yeah, so Denver's been on the road twice this year. They've gotten blown out both times. It's Baltimore, and I can't remember the other one off the top of my head right now, but they were absolutely terrible. And the Jets. And both of those teams ran over them, and that's all that Arizona does.
Johnson
they're
going to
run Johnson down the throat. Arizona has not been great at home, but the two games that they lost at home was to Seattle and the other team. But basically, they played two real close games at home. Probably should have beat Seattle. Got real unlucky there in the fourth quarter, back end touchdown. I like Arizona. I think they're going to win outright tonight. I think that they're going to beat the Broncos. I honestly do.
Joe?
That's a home dog in that game. I really like the Colts this week. I know 6.5 is a big number. But Buffalo's starting Derek Anderson, who hasn't played in years. I don't even know when the last time that guy's played. They're going over Peterman, but I like the Colts in that game. I got to give somebody on your show props. Mike Lockhart, okay? I've been working with him on the fantasy show of the weekends.
Yeah.
He has nailed a pick at least 2 to 3 weeks in a row. So on Sunday, we're going to get a pick from Mike Lockhart.
Okay.
He's got Lock in his name. So, but he's been giving out picks, and he's been very good.
Well, everyone is high. Mike Lockhart has got the fantasy show. Lifshatz and Murray have got the Over Under podcast available at 98.5thesportshub.com, also on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Gentlemen, as always, thank you.
If we could tease one more, Friday night is the Celtics and Raptors game.
Yeah.
The line just came out. Raptors are 2.5 with Kawhi Leonard. So kind of lean the Celtics on that one. Early line out.
So okay.
Far. All right. That's pretty degenerate. All right, we will return. We are going to get an expert opinion on everything that happened last night. And is Mr. Murray right? Does he like Houston in this game, coming back from a 3-1 deficit?
No.
All right, well, we'll find out. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Altuve, right field. At the track, he leaps and it is out. It's off a fan. No, they're saying off of Betts. It is in play. They may be calling it interference. I'm trying to get a read on the right field umpire here. Joe West made a couple of calls. There was a signal to the fan, there was a tap on his wrist, then there was an out call, and out is the call. Wow.
Standing at 5 to Sports Hub, Weir Toucher and Rich, you have to excuse me. I was getting an advanced scouting report about the team we're facing in the big championship game on Sunday.
Oh.
You know, these things come in fast and furious.
Spray charts, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spray charts. We got...
Hot zones.
We got the, what do you call it there, the UZR. The ultimate
zone rating.
Zone rating. We had all that going.
Sure.
All right. Let me introduce you to Bill Koch. He is the Red Sox beat writer for the Providence Journal. Did you hear that phone beep? And that's all information. All right. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
You are in Houston right now, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you have had how many hours of sleep?
Zero.
Oh, so you just let it ride.
I just let it ride. I figured I didn't want to sleep through the segment.
Okay. Very good.
We appreciate right your... all right, so let's start with what everyone is mad at me about. Do you believe that Mookie bet situation should have been a home run?
Honestly, guys, I didn't really know what the rule was, and I don't really know how to interpret it. So I won't say one way or the other. What I will say is what I saw, and what I saw was Mookie Betts was going to catch that ball. If there were no fans in the stands, if there were no hands coming toward his glove, he had that ball lined up and he makes that catch. And I think that's why Joe West made the call that he did.
Yeah, and the rule basically is that if Mookie reaches into the stands and it's interfered with, then that's at his own risk. But if the fans reached over the wall, then it's fan interference and it could be called out. And I just think it was a case that Joe West called it out and there wasn't enough evidence, conclusive enough, to overturn it, don't you think?
That's exactly right. That was the explanation that Joe West gave after the game. He obviously spoke with a pool reporter, which is, you know, you can request to speak to the crew chief or to one of the umpires. And Joe West said the explanation he got from Major League Baseball is that there wasn't enough evidence to overturn the initial call.
Yeah, Joe West was wrong. Okay, so all right, you have a situation here with Kimbrel. He's not been good. He threw 36 pitches yesterday. I have to believe that if it's a save situation tomorrow, tonight, that Kimbrel pitches in the ninth. Do you agree?
Actually, I think they might hold up Matt Barnes for that. He only threw a third of an inning in the seventh. I'm not certain that Kimbrel is going to be available in this spot. It would be good to get him 2 days off just in case you do have to play a game six back in Boston. And you would want him available for both of those games if possible.
So how do you see them handling things today? I know you've got David Price pitching, but...
Frazier's pitched three of the last four games, and yeah, got a lot of outs last night. You got to figure he won't be available either.
So let's say we get a classic David Price postseason performance where he gets yanked after three, four innings. What are you cobbling together? What's left in order to keep this...
Sandy Leone goes six.
Right, Jackie Bradley Jr. ends up, you know, pitching in the eighth. No, honestly, how do you imagine this playing out today if that's the case with David Price?
Well, they don't necessarily want to throw away the game. I think they're going to go out there to compete, and it certainly would be nice to wrap it up here in Game 5. But I think depending on the score, that's how Alex Cora will make his decisions. If they're behind, you'll probably see Eduardo Rodriguez eat up the bulk of the innings. You still have Heath Hembree, who hasn't thrown very much in this series. So I would think that if the Red Sox are behind, you're going to see a lot of those two guys. If they do manage to be in the lead at any point, you could see Joe Kelly again. He only threw one inning in game four. You would also probably see a healthy dose of Matt Barnes. I think they definitely kept him behind with this in mind.
In the end, Price pitching on, I guess it's short rest, but he was going to pitch last night. He was going to pitch last night in the eighth inning. I thought for sure he was going to come in the ninth. I thought just by warming him up, there'd be a problem for him to come in and pitch tonight. How long do you think he can go? How many pitches can he go?
He says he's good for as much as they need. Now, my guess would be probably five or six innings at the most. This is only the second time in his career he started on short rest, and you got to think back to he's been in the league since 2008, so 10 years, and he's only worked, you know, it's going to be twice now on short rest. So you can't imagine that you're going to get much more than five or six innings out of him at best. This is going to be a night where, you know, you just wonder what the offense is going to be able to do against Justin Verlander. You wonder if they're going to be able to muster much of a threat at all based on what we saw in game one. But I think this is probably the best case scenario for Price to pitch. He's going to be as loose as he could possibly be, knowing that, no matter how he performs, they're still going to have two more shots to wrap this up.
Are you taking, by the way, Bill, are you taking the line from the Red Sox that Chris Sale's just having a stomach issue at face value? It just seems strange that you can be out of the hospital for several days and still not feel ready to pitch in a game like this. Or do you think it's something else and maybe like an arm issue and they're trying to cover it up?
No, he was walking around after game three with a bottle of Pedialyte in his hand, and that was well after the game with his family. So I don't necessarily think that he was doing that just for the sake of doing it. I think it was probably something he really needed. It might speak to the fact that he was still feeling dehydrated and a little weak. I also think that, you know, if you've watched Alex Carr all year and you watch the way he's managed his roster, he's been really careful about trying to take care of guys, making sure guys have extra rest, making sure guys feel 100% when he puts them on the field. You know, he said last night that Chris Sale was under no consideration to pitch in Game 5. You know, and at the earliest, he was going to pitch in Game 6. So I don't necessarily think that there's anything more there than what we've already seen.
All right, if Sale, say this thing goes 7 and Sale's unable to start, which is, I mean, not the craziest notion, how do the Red Sox handle this going forward?
Well, you're going to have Evaldi in Game 7. I don't envision them moving him up in any way. You'll have him in Game 7 on full rest, and you know, he's been their best starter in the playoffs to this point, in my mind. You know, and then in Game 6, if it does get that far, you probably try and approach it the same way you do in Game 5. You just sort of hope that, you know, your offense can show up and get to Gerrit Cole early, you know, like they did in Game 2. And then you just try to piece it together. You use your bullpen based on whether or not you're ahead or behind, and you'll have certain guys for each of those roles.
All right. So you seem confident about tonight?
Not necessarily, only because of the quality of pitcher that you face. I mean, I can't necessarily see Justin Verlander rolling over and playing dead in Game 5. I certainly think Houston showed a great deal of pride in Game 4. You know, had it all the way down to the end and had every chance to win that game. And I'm just assuming that as the world champs, they're not going to want to go out with a loss at home, particularly not losing three straight at home. They were 10-1 in the last two postseasons coming into Tuesday, and they've lost back-to-back at Minute Maid Park. It's just not something that happens very often.
All right. Well, thank you. Bill Koch, Red Sox beat writer, Providence Journal, staying up all night. Go to sleep. And we appreciate the time.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, we appreciate it. To everyone. Everyone blind to the fact that was a ding-dong-a-roo.
I am looking at this video, how you can think that he closed it before somebody pushed his glove closed.
I think that he mistimed it.
I'm looking at the video right now, and it's like it's blatant. You see the guy's finger bend backwards. Who's pushing against the glove?
John, he was found, wasn't he?
Yes, the Boston Globe tracked him down, apparently.
And what did he have to say?
He said that he was behind the yellow line.
Fact.
Behind the yellow line and did not touch Mookie's glove.
Yep.
That's what he said. He is a former Houston resident, now living in the great city of Atlanta. Drove all the way back to Houston specifically for the game.
Drove?
Apparently, yes.
Was he one of them pores?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, suffice it to say, we will agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Because I believe that was a ding-dong.
Fan interference glove was not over the wall.
Well, it was a fan interference call, glove not over the wall, called by Country Joe West from about 40 miles away.
He was supposed to block the replay. In position. He couldn't overrule it. There's no conclusive evidence.
Now, I'll give you the Benintendi play. That was a risky play that...
That's
the loss. That's the game if he doesn't make that catch. But, you know, sometimes fate plays a hand, and the hand that was played yesterday. So enjoy it, Red Sox, because after all the trouble that you've had with Bill Buckner and what have you.
After all the who you've been through. Joe West made it up to you.
That's right. Joe West gifted you
I promise
two
you.
Runs. So enjoy that.
Here After all, it's been said and done. I can continue with the Chicago lyrics if you'd like me to.
Yeah, please do.
It's just the part of me I can't let go.
Now, is this Cetera era Chicago?
After all the who you've been through,
his voice
I will
is
make
disgusting.
It up to you. That song's all right. Oh. I promise to you. It's no Glory of Love.
Well, no. Glory of Love, you no. just...
It's not
just,
the Knight in Shining Armor from a
from
long time ago.
From a long time ago!
No.
That was Karate Kid, correct?
Yes.
Karate Kid 2.
That's right.
Not the first one.
That's right. Right. That's the one where he fights the other guy on the island, right? It's not a tournament. This is for
right,
real.
That good. One. Here are the headlines.
After all that we've been through, I will make it.
our toucher and Rich.
Cetera sang through his teeth. He like would smile every time. Never opens his mouth.
I hate his voice.
Oh, he's got a lot of voice.
All the blue you've been through.
And then the harmony right there.
Yeah.
And the 80s guitar solo that you're about to get right here. Throw it to me.
All right, I have a philosophical question.
Is it about Chicago 17 being the greatest soft rock album of all time?
No, we're going to get back to people yelling at me. And don't you worry, we'll do that.
Because there's literally a line of people on hold, just waiting to one at a time.
They're taking numbers.
Yell at you this morning.
If you coach a team of 9 and 10-year-olds,
yeah,
and you're in the big-time championship game,
mm-hmm.
do you play to win or do you play evenly?
Well, you had this experience before during the Little League season with Milo, correct? You won your league and then played the crosstown team.
Yes.
And you played it even, if I remember right. That big championship game wasn't as important.
Is it more important to the children to win the championship?
No. You give them all playing time.
No, of course they're going to play. But
the only reason I say that is because there's somebody in my league, a coach who... Our team was playing them, and we blew them out. It wasn't until the score was 6-0 that I saw like three kids who hadn't played the entire game play minutes.
I'm like, what a jackass. No. I'm not talking about not playing kids. I'm saying, do you divvy up the time evenly?
Yes.
This is baseball.
Yeah. At that age, yes. It's different when you hit like middle school. Then it's kind of like when you're like 10 and at 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to do that, unfortunately.
Agree to disagree. So yesterday,
go Astros, go!
Yeah. So
Alex Cora talked about the fan interference, and that's what you know. Everyone, I mean, if you're, it's 100% correct. And I thought this last night. If that would have happened to the Red Sox, people would have lost their minds.
Yeah, they would have every right to.
I mean, it was weird all around. It was, but the fact that Country Joe West goes and calls it an out, it was tough to overturn. Now, Fred and I, once again, will disagree that, you know, from the angles and the videos I've seen, it looks like the fan
not only
the crowd knocks
not only
into the glove.
Was it over the fence, but the fan that hit the glove is not the reason the glove closed.
And that we'll disagree on. I do believe it was over the fence, but I also
believe that Country Joe West is a moron. I don't think he was in proper position to make that call.
Oh, no, he was. That much is clear.
Okay.
And that's positioning the umpires.
And then
I
blame a security guard in Major League Baseball for not having a proper angle on it.
Now, that is true. Although there was that amazing picture I just retweeted that Dan Shaughnessy put out there last night.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from the Globe got this unbelievable picture that is of the Mookie Betts catch that wasn't. And, you know, it's got all the redneck guys with the Reagan Bush hats like pushing on the thing. And then right in the middle of it is Country Joe West's head looking right at the catch. So he saw it, but from way far away.
Didn't hesitate, made the call immediately. But again, he was very far out of position.
So here is Alex Cora on the fan interference last night.
No, I mean, he went after the ball and Joe called it out right away. I saw the replays and, you know, I know the boundaries and all that. And I was pretty sure that it was going to be called out. You know, he didn't reach over the fence. He was actually parallel with the wall. So
sure. That's
the rule, and we got the out.
Now, A.J. Hinch, actually, his tone changed from the end of the game to the middle of the game interview. I don't know if you saw it, because when he was being asked about it, it was maybe like two innings after it was all said and done. And he said that he believed that even if it was the case where there was some fan interference, he goes, you can't automatically call it out because there was no guarantee that he was going to catch the ball. Which I thought was an interesting angle. Like, even if it looks like it was going to go into his glove, it's such a difficult catch that to just immediately credit him for the out was somewhat... And that's why that call was so amazing, because you're sitting there not really knowing how it's going to play out.
So here's what we've got. We've got that Joe West was out of position. We got that there is not a proper angle to give to show that it was not over the fence. We have been given the information that how do we know he makes that catch? And what my belief is that that mitt closed because Mookie mistimed it.
And once again, that last part is the one thing we'll disagree on.
Three reasons. And then the replay had the dumb security guard in it.
Okay.
One quick thing, though. I mean, Betts was not up against the wall when he jumped. That's the other part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him drift back towards the wall when he jumped. Therefore, when he reached back, there's no definitive way you can say the glove went over the wall.
That's more. He's more likely to have reached over the wall by not standing parallel to the wall when he jumped.
I disagree. If he jumps right up against the wall, of course he's going to reach back to get it. And reach over the wall to
I think
it.
If momentum is taking you to the wall, that would carry
he's
your
far
glove
enough,
over.
He's far enough away from the wall that I don't think there's definitely not a definitive look that shows that his glove was over the wall.
There is not a definitive look, and that's why Country Joe West blew the call. Steve, go ahead.
I disagree. Fred, first of all, you're a gift, all right?
I'm a what?
Give me a fan.
Yes. Gift.
You're a gift.
Gift.
A gift?
Yes, a yes. gift, a gift.
Like a positive
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, he likes you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, now, Rich, do me a favor. You're a computer nerd, all right?
Yes,
I want
I am.
You to Google. I want you to Google Mookie Betts catch, okay? There is a picture, okay? If you look carefully and zoom in, okay, it shows, okay, you have a guy, there's a guy in a white shirt, guy in an orange shirt, and a guy looks like he's constipated, okay? The guy in the white does have his hand over the railing.
He does. He's leaning over. His stomach is actually on the wall.
Yes.
It's resting on it, and he's reaching over, but he's pretty far to the right, and he is not touching the glove.
But look at Mookie's glove. Look at his palm. He's totally open, okay? If you look very carefully, his arm is wide open. And if you look at the top, you can see the guy in the orange, his right hand, is touching the glove.
Yes, his fingers are bending backwards. I agree with you. You're exactly right.
He's touching the glove, but I don't. But it didn't shut the glove.
But Fred, he did not hit, first of all.
Oh, he did not shut that glove. I just saw it again. Listen, did he touch the glove? Yes. Did he shut the glove? No. I think I truly, with all my soul, believe that Mookie Betts mistimed that ball. That's all.
But in the end, that part of it doesn't matter.
I understand that, but I am giving you even more ammunition that
you're
I don't believe.
Me ammunition. You're giving yourself ammunition.
Well, shut up. I'm telling you.
Just argue properly.
It was Reagan all. Bush and his friend, the dude, thumbs down guy. They were the ones who touched the glove.
Yeah, they well, okay, but they didn't shut it.
I don't Republicans.
Think if I have a glove open.
Yes.
Who's the last person to have played baseball? You could be in the other room. Who is the last person to play baseball?
What?
I'm not the last person to have put on a mitt and gone out and played baseball.
In the world?
No, you guys.
Of all six of us.
Oh, in this room.
It's Fred.
No. I'm not trying to say. I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm asking honestly.
Oh, I don't know. I played several months ago, and it was a softball game.
Okay. Softball
doesn't count.
Okay. If you had, could someone hit your mitt and make you close it?
Well, yeah, he knocked into it.
No. If you run it, yeah,
it would make
from
my
side,
hand.
From
it
the
would
side?
Make my hand close the glove.
If you're moving in his direction, yes, it would do that.
I disagree completely. I think in order to close a glove, that you have to, your hand has to close the glove. Now, could you push the webbing of the glove? Absolutely. But I think if you put a glove right now on and had someone knock into it, it would not close your hand.
Okay. Wait, listen, but, Fred, just stop because we have a much more important call on line five.
Yes. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just think with all this stuff with the catch, we're losing sight of how outstandingly wrong Wallach has been about everything this playoffs. before the playoffs, he gave no one in the bullpen a chance besides Kimbrel.
Nope.
And that's really worked out for you.
That's true.
And then obviously, Matt Barnes last night just really just crapping all over you. And then finally, I think I remember you saying that Sarge deserves to be on the radio.
That's a clean sweep. Yep.
That's all those things. All right, we'll continue to take your calls.
Uh-huh.
Is there a mitt around here? I might have a mitt in my car. Should I go get a mitt from my car?
Do it. Let's do it. Let's play some catch.
Da-da-da.
Let's do it.
All right.
Can we imagine this is a cornfield and you just come walking through and I can call you dad?
No, you're making fun of it, but if I put the glove on my hand and you hit it, I want to see if my hand will close.
But in the end, that doesn't matter.
John, it's part of the conversation.
Okay. I want to try this out.
All
listen,
right.
It's all, our show's about science. If anything, it's about science.
And you're a lefty, so you're going to have to wear the glove.
So we get to knock around Bullock's hand. We're just going to hit it really hard.
All right.
I'll be the Reagan Bush 84 guy.
What the hell is going on? I have to put on this glove for what reason?
Because I'm going to show you that an outside person that smacks your glove can't close your hand.
Now, can we use, like, bats and stuff to hit it? Or just does it have to be?
Do you not want to do this experiment or not? Oh, everyone seems to poke fun at it. Does anyone understand what I'm saying?
I want the science.
Everyone's poking fun at me.
I told you I want to do it.
No one's poking fun at you, Fred. They're disagreeing with you.
Shut up. I know you're all disagreeing with me. I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's Mr. Wizard's world.
Come on, put on the mitt, kid. At least you can throw a ball in like that no good son of mine.
It's drunken Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, come here. Come here and play catch, my boy. All he wants to do is smoke grass and listen to ELO.
I thought we were going to do some experiments today, Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, here's an experiment. Get divorced and see how much money you got left. I live in a one bedroom.
What are those potions you're playing with right now?
I saw Breaking Bad and I'm trying to see if I can make meth. All right.
Bird, go get your glove.
Bird, go get the glove. Out of the back of my car. Just bring in the whole bat bag.
We can reenact the entire thing. The window right here will be the wall.
You guys are making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to make this work.
You're making fun of me.
This is science.
You're making fun of me. And there's a ball in the bat bag, too.
Yeah, we need a ball, too.
Okay.
That way someone can pelt balls at Wallach.
No.
Well, what if it's...
No, the only reason it's a left-handed glove, and Wallach's the only lefty. Thank you. All right, so we'll be right back with science.
Going to catch it, so I guess you could say I was kind of surprised that he, I've never seen or been a part of a play like that, so I guess yeah, you could say I was kind of surprised he made the out call. And as I watched the video, it's like he got it right, because you know, I feel like it was going to my glove for sure.
All right, there's a lot of things that are wrong with that sentence. A, that ball was over the fence. B, Joe West was way too far away to make that call. And C, any definitive angle of it was ruined by a security guard. I contend that Mookie Betts mistimed the ball, squeezed his glove. You guys and most of the audience contend that the guy in the stands closed his glove.
And by the way, I am actually starting to think that he wasn't over the fence. Like, now, when I came in this morning, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's with the fan. Now, I'm seeing some angles, and, like, if you take a look at that dude in the white shirt whose stomach is on the fence and is leaning over, I think that he's actually in, like Mookie has not yet put his arm behind the fence where that catch was.
I've seen the same angle. I agree with you.
Not something I believed when I came in this morning.
Well, because you've been trying to convince yourself, and you're looking at every angle under the sun. Well, I could show you seven angles where it looks like he was over the fence.
Show me one.
Go look around. That's a bunch of the angles show that he was over
there's
the
no
fence.
There's no definitive shot that shows you that his angle. Now, if the security guard wasn't leaning over and that camera on the fence would have given you the definitive angle, but there's no definitive angle that shows you that Betts' arm was definitely over the
fence. I will show you, and this will be the experiment.
Okay.
I have not only my mitt, but I have my son's mitt. Wallach is a left-hander.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't jam that up with nerd juice.
Well, it comes with the territory, my friend. You'll have to deal with the fallout later.
All right, so listen. So I am going to have you put, like, this was not an act of a guy rearing back and smacking his glove.
He was reaching out. Yes.
He was reaching out. Yeah. I want you to see if you can make my hand close in a catching motion by just pushing my glove.
But you have to be moving towards Wallach with your glove. Because remember, he was moving to the left.
Fine. To the left.
So
back.
This
to the
is
left.
So back. If I'm trying to push your glove close, why am I holding Milo's mitt?
Because I'm going to do the same thing with you.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And you're going to have to be honest, and I'm going to see if you're a scoundrel or an honest man.
Well, I think we know the answer already.
So we're doing the science experiment next?
Yes.
Is Bird involved?
No.
No, Bruce, well, none of
this is just us crashing into each other, Rich.
Okay, and I'll do the play-by-play.
Yeah, sure.
And then Bird can come in and tape it.
Yeah, this needs to be this needs to be videotaped because we need to put the evidence out there because I mean this is science.
For $1 million, I don't think there's any way some jabroni reaching for a ball can make a major leaguer close his glove.
Okay.